Question 42. Seest thou this woman? Luke 7:44-48. And he turned to the woman, and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. Jesus visited the house of a Pharisee named Simon. While they sat there, a woman was found washing Jesus' feet, and obviously weeping as she did so. She was despised in the eyes of the host, and his contempt immediately caused him to question whether Jesus was who he claimed to be. If he were a prophet, the Pharisee reasoned, he would see what I see when he looks at this woman. Jesus could have answered, I not only see what you see, I know what you can't see. Then Jesus looked to Simon and asked, Do you see this woman? Jesus then told a little story about two people being forgiven a debt that they could not pay, one of whom owed 10 times more than the other. After the story, Jesus asked, Which of them loved the creditor most? Simon answers rightly, The one that was forgiven most. Sometimes we need to step out of our situation and be objective in judgment. We get so close to a situation that we become emotionally or personally involved, and when people are close to us, we become border conscious, jealous, or comparative. Like otherwise friendly pups when at play, we may growl and snap at the feeding dish. Jesus asked, Do you really see the person you condemn? Do we see the person we feel as an enemy or a threat to us, the person we don't like or avoid? And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. Jesus saw a man. Everyone else saw a tax collector. He saw a man. All of Israel saw nothing but a traitor. Christ saw a man. The Jews saw a thief. Jesus saw a man. There's also a personal touch to this story that may escape us if we read it too quickly. As we look at the passage we're considering, notice the reference. Matthew 9:9. The author of this passage is the man in the story. He knew personally the joy of being considered and evaluated without prejudice. Matthew was rejoicing, and here he is exclaiming, He saw me. The practice of seeing without regard to political status or outward appearance is an attribute of God. Remember the story in 1 Samuel 16? But the Lord said unto Samuel, For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. From the days of the law that forbade the practice, all through the Scriptures, and even now within our own hearts, we know that it is wrong to judge a man by what we see on the outside. There are 2 main reasons for this. If read together, the reasons may sound contradictory. Obviously, they'll require deeper thought than at first glance. Number 1, deceitful men can control what you see on the outside. If a person wants to deceive you, he may be able to do so by showing you what he wants you to see. The deceit ranges from the way he dresses to showcasing his possessions. In this case, we should refer to the advice found in James 2:1-4, My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respective persons. For if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves? We actually reveal ourselves when we respect persons. We must admit, we only respect traits and features that we wish to be ascribed to ourselves. Number two, sinful men cannot control what we see on the outside. When a person is in sin or under the burden of disobedience to God, he's in bondage. He's in that condition because he has no control. We would be more likely to tolerate a drunk that stumbled into one of our meetings and would extend compassion toward him, if only for a day. But the one with a sour disposition or the one who does not agree with us readily is avoided. What about the one who dresses differently? Well, what about that one? Most of the judgment we feel comes from a notion within us that says to us they act this way or do this or that on purpose. We reason that it is their fault, but we do so incorrectly, unjustly, and without the compassion that Christ has shown to us. Again, we reveal ourselves in this. We despise in others the sins over which we gain control within our own strength, and we feel it is reasonable to expect the same from them. When we feel this resentment, it is unjust and cruel. It should be a sign to us that we are operating on our own conation and within our own strength. It's then that our love is held in reserve and our judgment is freely dispensed. When a person has been fully delivered by the power of God, granted forgiveness for their sin, this person does not despise sin in others. It's then that our judgment is held in check and our love is dispensed. So whether we respect what we see in the deceptive rich man or despise what we see in the sinful ragged one, our response is apt to be influenced by our own greed, deliberate misleadings are our own self-righteousness. Without the Lord Jesus' example, this revelation could be very depressing. The key is to operate only by true compassion, not respect, but compassion for the one who feigns riches, and not judgment, but again compassion for the one bound by sin, for they're both in great need of it. You can see the compassion in the Lord's actions on this day at Simon's house. Notice the reference says, He turned to her and said to Simon. He was not looking for a reaction from Simon. He was not testing him to see what expressions he may show. He was not really quizzing Simon as much as he was expressing his sorrow for the lack of compassion that Simon showed. Christ showed the same compassion toward both the rich and the rejected that day. He saw that both of them needed the same thing. Forgiving one and teaching the other, he reached out to both. We can see Jesus with one hand out to her and one toward the Pharisee as he tries to connect the unsympathetic churchman to the one who needed the church so desperately. Though Jesus' face was turned away, Simon can plainly hear the question that rung in his ears for the rest of the evening. Can't your eyes see this poor woman? To see a person is not a gift to pray for or an endowment to obtain supernaturally. It is an ability that lies within you if you have truly experienced repentance, forgiveness, and justification. It requires only an accurate memory. Call to remembrance the former days, and remember, such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. When you find yourself praying about your despite toward a brother who's not what you think he should be. You need to hear the Lord, who was able to see through your sin, say, look deeper. When you encounter a woman who exemplifies, practices, or even promotes everything you stand against, and you feel self-righteousness swell up inside you, hear your master ask within, do you see this woman?